Hey, it is the Pete. I know you're not surprised at that. This is episode 60. Wow, 60 of the 666 cast from website 666.com. Man. I know I've talked about pattern recognition in the past, how we humans pretty much see everything as a pattern. That's how we identify things. It's how we see the universe. We look at a cell phone and we don't see its component parts. We don't see its screen. We don't see its case. We don't see the buttons. We don't see the molecules that make up the plastic that the buttons are made of. We don't see the atoms that make up the molecules that the buttons are made of. Our brains are naturally inclined to see shapes and apply patterns to them. That's what makes a pencil a pencil, a computer, as opposed to its component parts. The problem is, sometimes a computer isn't a computer. Sometimes it's just one of those, fake plastic hollow things you see at the IKEA on desks, just made to give you an idea of what your desk will look. This desk will look like with your laptop on it. So that's not a real laptop, obviously. And so this tends to happen a lot when people look at, certain facts. They interpret those facts to be a particular outcome that may or may not actually be the case, or they conclude something that may or may not be really happening. So, like, a lot of conspiracy types will look at, like me, will look at a number of facts and think, oh, well, that means the government knew that Osama bin Laden was going to crash planes into a building. Or, oh, that means, the United States government actually, caused, those planes to crash or whatever, like on that X-Files episode, The Lone Gunman. Anyway, you get what I'm getting at. Sometimes we see things that we want to believe are there, or we don't realize that our biases are making us see, so we sometimes see what isn't there, what isn't really there. And I've sort of come to believe in a lot of senses that, whether or not, that computer at IKEA is really a computer or not is irrelevant. Its function is there. Its function is to look as though it is a computer. As long as you don't walk up to it and touch it and try to use it as a computer, it's fine. And likewise, I see a lot of what goes on in the world not as the conclusion of a conspiracy hypothesis. I actually just say, well, it doesn't matter if there's a conspiracy back there or not. There might as well be. So even if we can't, follow the lines to the, maniacal, supervillain in his secret lair or whatever, wringing his hands and laughing maniacally. I never understand why they do that. That doesn't mean that the world isn't, kind of in danger. And I hate to sound so alarmist. I really don't like it. So it's like, look at how much nasty chemicals are in our food. Look at the obesity rate. Look at how much money is made off of using those nasty chemicals. Now you'd think, or you could think, looking at those facts, that there's a conspiracy by the corporations to poison us, to make us sick so the health industry can thrive. The healthcare industry can thrive, or the health insurance industry can thrive. I have no evidence, no specific evidence of a conspiracy, but I say, who cares if it's a conspiracy, right? The evidence, or the results are there. The effect is there. We're getting fat, and we need to watch every, bite of food we take into our mouth, And so it's like, it's funny like that. This all goes to the final topic this week that I want to get to, And it sort of has to do with the other two topics as well. So for the first 15, I'll probably, or for the rest of the first 15, I'll probably talk about the news. But just think about that, you know, the idea of, you know, whether or not it matters that there is something intelligent going on behind, you know, the bad things that are happening to the world. What difference does it make if global warming is man-made? I talked about this last week. What difference does it make if global warming is man-made? It's happening. What's going to make it worse? Adding more greenhouse gases. All right? So let's not do that. What's going to make it worse? Spewing more pollutants into the air. Right? Doesn't matter if the corporations are doing it on purpose. Doesn't matter if they're doing it at all. If there's pollution happening, we need to be looking out for it. So I guess it doesn't matter if they're doing it at all. You get my point. But onto the news, something I said a couple 666 casts ago is that you can just kind of look at the news and see things that should be alarming, not just from a, oh my God, this is, you know, concerning, like, you know, Wiener and his wiener, you know, like, more stuff than, I mean, I'm not talking about stories regarding, you know, congressmen sending pictures of themselves naked to young women. I mean, that's disturbing, but it's not, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about my thesis that, you know, the world as we know it is ending, and we're sort of crumbling, things are crumbling, and we're just letting it happen. And there are a lot of distractions like gay marriage and stuff that that we don't need to be really worried about. We don't need to be thinking about it. It's like all these Christians are like, oh my God, gay marriage is going to end. It's going to end society, or it's going to, you know, go against, you know, straight marriage or whatever the bullshit rationalization is. That's not important. Just fucking let me fuck who I want to fuck, all right? Let me spend the rest of my life with who I want to spend the rest of my life with, period. And don't penalize me based on who I decide or what gender I decide to spend my life with. Mind your own fucking business. And so so in the news, in the New York Times anyway, I get all these headlines delivered every day in my email box, and one of them is about gay marriage. And it's ridiculous. It's just like Obama apparently hasn't just said outright, I'm cool with gay marriage. You know? I mean, personally, I didn't mind John Edwards back before he turned into a complete asshole. I didn't mind his attitude of like, well, it's states' rights. You know? So say that. Leave it up to the states. But Obama doesn't even say that. Obama doesn't say anything about gay marriage. And hasn't since apparently he ran for Senate back in 2004. So why are we wasting our time with this? You know, why is this so controversial that Obama couldn't come out for coming out and marrying someone else who's come out? You know what I mean? Why is this so controversial? Here's another article in the New York Times. I'll link to all these, by the way, at the website 666.com. So if you're curious about this, stop by the post for this episode 60. There's another interesting article at newyorktimes.com, nytimes.com, about a guy who used to be gay. It's entitled My Ex-Gay Friend. More waste of time. I mean, yeah, okay, it's an interesting story, and I think it's a disturbing story about this guy who was totally, you know, not totally gay, obviously. You either like boys or you don't, or like men, sorry. Not trying to, you know what I mean. Not trying to suggest gays are pedophiles. They're not. My point is, decide what you want for yourself. If you don't want to be gay, then try not to be gay. But if you're going to be attracted to guys and not women, you're not really going to escape that. But, you know, so there's a balance there. Accept who you are versus decide what you want to be. You know, I mean, that's what we all have to deal with. You know, so just figure that out. That's a personal issue. So, you know, and while I think this is important, it's not as important as, say, the internet and all technology crumbling under our weight. This is another story. Deploying new tools to stop the hackers. Don't know if you noticed, but there's been a rash of hacks basically around the world. There's Anonymous. They've been hacking, you know, credit card companies and websites for conglomerates, I think. Media. Anyway. Then there's also the guys that are hacking into Sony to rip off lots of credit card information for Sony PlayStation Network people and a bunch of others. I mean, hacking is just like it. Meanwhile, you know, I've been noticing a lot of problems with my own computing, my own devices that shouldn't normally be a problem. I've always sworn by my Macs over the years, often literally. shit, this fucking Mac won't run. No, actually, it only started with Snow Lion when I started, or Snow Leopard rather, when I installed that. Things started going downhill for Macs, and now there's that stupid Mac malware that you need to watch out for. Basically, you know, just pretend you're a PC owner now in this regard. If you have a Mac, don't open any attachments you don't recognize. And good Lord, if some website tells you you need a virus scan for your Mac, just say no. So but the point is, we put all this emphasis on technology changing our lives and doing it for the better. In fact, this has to do with something else that I'll be talking about for the final topic today in the final 15, carrying capacity. The point is, technology is not the catch-all super solution, and the more expectations we put on it, the more disappointment we're going to have when technology doesn't live up to those expectations. There's the something called the Zeitgeist movement that believes in this thing called the Venus Project, and they think that we need to totally retool all of human civilization and replace it with a technology-focused, centered civilization. Now, I don't disagree with the idea that we need to totally redo Western society or human society, but I think over-relying on technology is not a good idea. Anybody who's seen the blue screen of death, anybody who's seen an endless spinning beach ball on their Macs, anybody who's, you know, walked up to an ATM and saw that it was just down or not functioning or the screen was black and wouldn't turn on or whatever, knows that we can't trust technology to be there 100% for us. You know, there's always going to be failures and crashes and, you know, data corruptions and hard drive failures and even flash drive failures. You know, anything humans can make can be hacked, sabotaged, or just, you know, aged and corrupted. So we can't be trusting technology so much. The fact that there are all these hackers out there and they're hacking into systems, you know, it just means that, you know, we really shouldn't be opening ourselves up on the internet. We shouldn't be allowing so much of our personal private information to be out there on the internet. So I think that we really need to focus on what we're doing with this sort of runaway civilization right now, where we think everything can be taken to the nth degree, nothing in moderation, you know. Still waiting for online videos to take off. Everyone's noticing that online videos are out there, and there are plenty of like web series that are coming out online only, but nothing has really taken off yet. So I know I've been at it since before YouTube existed, and it's a tough game. You know, the internet is so fractured. So the new reality, the new media reality that we've all been waiting, a revolution, I guess, a new media revolution that we've all been waiting for has yet to happen. And for God's sake, I wish it would happen, because I just want to know where to focus myself. Because not making money off of all the creative stuff I do on the internet is a huge drag. So that's another New York Times article. Let's see, where else am I? Oh, yeah, this one pissed me off, boy. Robert Gates, Defense Secretary. Robert M. Gates, right? He's recently admitted to being wary, yeah, of wars of choice, quote-unquote. Now, I think this is such a horrible concept, the idea that these wars were chosen. You know, it's like the way the government proposed Afghanistan, Iraq, and even Libya, we have no choice. You know, it was like Iraq was the smoking gun, could be a mushroom cloud. And Afghanistan, we had to go in and get bin Laden. And in Libya, we didn't even get a rationale. Obama just did it. And it's like the whole thing is just ridiculous to suggest that, you know, these are wars of choice. You guys had a choice, motherfucker. We did not. So where's the choice? You know? And aside from World War II, and even World War II to a certain degree, I don't think we've ever not had a war of choice. I think every choice, the military or the United States government decided this is where we need to be. Vietnam, Korea, all these things. You know? Oh, we were fighting communism. you know, in Vietnam and Korea. Yeah, whatever. That doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. You can't fight a political movement or a political concept. It's like fighting terrorism. People will always be pissed at you. So anyway, so I appreciate Robert M. Gates telling us he's grown wary of wars of choice. I'm sorry, Bob. You really should probably get out of the military then, maybe. That's a good way to avoid choice, because those of us in the real world don't have a choice about whether to go to war or not. Opinion page editorial. New York Times has started talking shit about the FBI, which is good. I'll just read a paragraph here. The Obama administration has long been bumbling along in the footsteps of its predecessor when it comes to sacrificing Americans' basic rights and liberties under the false flag of fighting terrorism. Now the Obama team seems ready to lurch even farther down that dismal road than George W. Bush did. Next paragraph. Instead of tightening the relaxed rules for FBI investigations, not just on terrorism suspects, but of pretty much anyone that were put in place in the Bush years, President Obama's Justice Department is getting ready to push the proper bounds of privacy even further. So the FBI apparently is now able to dig into your trash, even if it's like on your land and stuff like that. I mean, at this point, we should all know that the government can ultimately do whatever it wants, because nobody or very few people ever get prosecuted for breaking the law if they're in government. George W. got away with it. All of his guys got away with it. So I just think this is like too little too late. This is like that old, you know, when they came for me, no one was left to protect me, you know, or to say anything. I think that was the thing. So anyway, so the FBI under Obama is getting pretty reachy, and that's troublesome, I think. Anyway, okay, so we're a little bit past the end of the first 15, so here's the second 15. Topic number 2, which will merge into topic number 3. When Bush first took office and started, you know, going on with this anti-Muslim rhetoric, you know, either you're with us or you're against the terrorists, you know, and the fact that his quote-unquote election was so tight, what else? The fact that he thought it was okay to just march into countries that didn't do anything to us. You know, these were all things that, you know, raised red flags for me and plenty of other like-minded people who felt like this was not a good thing. And what historical figure did this behavior remind us of? It was Adolf Hitler, right? We're not allowed to talk about, we're not allowed to compare anybody to Hitler. Apparently because it's just so damn cliche. I mean, because if the comparison is there, the comparison is there. I'm not saying, you know, none of us were trying to suggest that, you know, that Bush was going to slaughter, you know, millions of Muslims. Turns out he only slaughtered a few hundred thousand Muslims, maybe a single million, and not by his own hand, not in a methodical, fucked up way like Hitler killed all those Jews, but he is responsible for a lot of Muslim death. But no, we can't compare him to Hitler because that's just cliche. That's easy, or that's... But now, I don't know. I have yet to hear a good reasoning for it. I was surprised that Jon Stewart was even like, yeah, you can't compare people to Hitler anymore because it's just a dead thing. It's just overused and doesn't mean anything anymore, I think. I think that was his ultimate point. Personally, I think if the shoe fits even part way, then, you know, we can certainly say, hey, look at what Hitler did. Let's see if we can learn from that and try to stop doing what Hitler did, or stop people from doing what Hitler did, which was, you know, march into other countries illegally. So what happens to those points when all of a sudden something becomes too cliche? You know, when all of a sudden, by merely pointing out, you know, Hitler did this. You know, I mean, like, okay, so let's say if Bush really did build, you know, concentration camps for Muslims, I mean, would anybody be able to say, hey, those are concentration camps just like Hitler? Oh, not allowed to talk about that. Not allowed to make that comparison, even though it would be accurate, like marching into countries who did nothing to us. Like a tight election win. I mean, Hitler only won by 3%, if memory serves. You know, so I don't understand that. And when something like global warming comes along, and standing up and saying, hello, the world's kind of going to fall apart a little bit and we're going to have some trouble. And I mean, it's not Armageddon or anything, but it's not exactly business as usual either. You know, the fingers start getting pointed. Oh, you're one of those global warming freaks. That's how it was 10 years ago. You know, if anybody gave a shit about global warming, it was, you know, oh man, even as recent as 2007, I remember I had a boss who said to me, well, I don't believe in global warming. What do you mean you don't believe in global warming? What? I mean, what's next? You don't believe in evolution? I mean, I'm sorry, it's scientific fact. You know, I'm sorry, if you look at the temperatures on planet Earth, they are going up on average. And so the idea that you can choose to not believe in something that, you know, is it 96% of all scientists agree is happening, you know, and this doesn't necessarily mean that we have to assume it's man-made. Again, I know that there's plenty of evidence that says it is man-made. But there are a lot of people who don't want to believe that. And that's, again, what I don't understand. So we walk in and we say, hey, look, the world is ending. Isn't that cliche? Aren't we just, you know, Chicken Littles, Cassandras, you know, and all that? Well, actually, if you're Cassandra, that means anybody who doesn't listen to you is stupid. Because memory serves, she was telling the truth. The point is, there's so much evidence that the world is falling apart around us. You know, for years I've been blogging about our money situation, how the Federal Reserve is just fake. It's just imaginary. It's just monopoly money. It doesn't mean anything. That money doesn't represent anything. So what is this wealth that we're passing around? Nothing. The king has, you know, no clothes. The king has no money. The people have no money. It's all just made up and imaginary. Yet this is how we live our lives every day, and this is supposed to be a good system. You know, but oh, I'm being all conspiratorial, so no, I can't. I'm cliche boy. I'm I can't be trusted. I'm paranoid. Paranoid Pete. Somebody actually called me that today on Twitter, so I'm sure you could search for it on Twitter and find out who I'm talking about. He's a good guy otherwise, so go easy on him. Anyway, so when you start talking about the end of the world, people, you know, either are concerned and agreeable and want to do something about it, or they think, oh, here we go again. Trust me, it's like being a sci-fi geek. I'm still a sci-fi geek, and when you talk about certain shit, people's eyes just glaze over, and they don't want to listen to you. In fact, anytime I talk about things that are maybe not the most pleasant to talk about, the eyes glaze over. I've been told I am a challenging person to chat with because I challenge people. I know, go figure. Life is boring without challenges. I mean, I'm not saying I want, you know, a lot of challenges, but, you know, I like it when people challenge my thought process or my conclusions, my beliefs, things like that. So what am I getting at here? What I'm getting at here is that, you know, the thesis that I've been going with for the past couple episodes is that the end of our world is nigh. It's just nigh very slowly. and it's unfolding very slowly, and it's not going to be an overnight thing, you know. It'll probably happen in our lifetimes, just because we're all living so much longer now, which is, you know, great and all, but be careful what you wish for, because infrastructure is having trouble in the United States, resources are starting to dwindle. Oil prices are gonna go up. Hate to break it to everybody. I've been saying this for years, and they have gone up. Just because it's not $6 or $7 a gallon yet for gas doesn't mean the prices haven't gone up. You know, I mean, I remember back during Katrina, was it 2005, 6, something like that. Actually, gas had jumped up to $6 a gallon in some states around Louisiana because there was demand for it. Obviously, that dropped back down, but I know that after the Iraq invasion, everything went up to $3 and never went down ever again. Yet before the Bush years, I remember gas being $1 or $2 a gallon. So, Anyway, so yeah, so there's a lot of freaky shit, and if you don't want to listen to Paranoid Pete, I recommend checking out howstuffworks.com. Do a search for a guy called Thomas Malthus. Thomas Malthus, sorry, M-A-L-T-H-U-S. Malthus. He was a guy who lived, when did he live? Late 1700s. So go to howstuffworks.com, do a search for Thomas Malthus, or actually this is probably better, the question to a search for, has the Earth reached its carrying capacity? And, or you can also check out the Stuff You Should Know podcast, which is awesome. I love that podcast, from howstuffworks.com. Just go to howstuffworks.com/podcast/stuffyoushouldknow, with dashes in between each word, .rss. Awesome, awesomest podcast in the world, better than mine even, I think. Chuck and Josh, really funny guys to just sit there and listen to. Anyway, three episodes ago, they did an episode called Was Malthus Right About Carrying Capacity? Now, carrying capacity, you may be wondering, if you've never heard of it before, is a system's ability to support itself. So, like, you could say the Amazon River Basin, you know, what's the carrying capacity? How many life forms can it support? How many, you know, alligators or whatever the fuck animals live in the Amazon River Basin, you know, based on, you know, food that the alligator eats versus, you know, resources and all that, you know, hopefully that makes sense. So this guy, Thomas Malthus, said it back in 1798 that the Earth had a carrying capacity, a level at which, you know, it could support no more humans. And let me just read you this one paragraph from their article, Has the Earth Reached Its Carrying Capacity? Carrying capacity is not a fixed number. Estimates put Earth's carrying capacity at anywhere between 2 billion and 40 billion people. It varies with a wide range of factors, most of them fitting under the umbrella of quote-unquote lifestyle. If humans were still in the hunter-gatherer mode, Earth would have reached its carrying capacity at about 100 million people. With humans producing food and living in high-rise buildings, that number increases significantly. So in other words, technology, there's that technology again. Technology has helped us go beyond Malthus's initial forecast for what the Earth's carrying capacity would be. So technology comes in and saves the day, and that's all good, fine and good and dandy, but there's that technology again. And we're putting a lot of emphasis on technology. And in fact, it was technology that made people initially disregard Malthus's claims or his theory. But as I just was saying earlier in this very podcast, technology can let us down. Technology isn't perfect, and we're not perfect either. So we might think the technology is going to be one thing, and it ends up being another. So, for instance, when the car came along, it was viewed as a solution to pollution. And you might think, what the hell does that mean? How can that possibly be? Well, the answer is simple. Cars don't shit. 'Cause pollution back then was the smell of horse poopy. And cars don't have poopy. They have exhaust. So, and that just goes into the air. Voila, just away. You know? But hundreds of thousands of cars, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cars, millions of cars, and 100 years later, and where does all that carbon monoxide go? Into the atmosphere, and it's a greenhouse gas, and surprise, surprise. There might be a problem with that. So, technology, we have this silly idea that technology can save us. And here's a great example. Here's all these great examples of how it's not. We're trusting that it's going to solve all our problems. So the article goes on, and the Stuff You Should Know podcast goes on and talks about how if everyone on Earth lived like us, this is what the article was talking about, you know, the umbrella of lifestyle. If everyone lived like Americans, apparently the carrying capacity of Earth would only be 2 billion people. Yeah, we're 6.7 billion people. Actually, we're going to be 7 billion, I think, really soon. So say goodbye to this lifestyle, because the Earth will not be able to support it without a lot of people dying first. And that creates a whole mess of problems. The whole world gets much more complicated, and we're already seeing some of that happen, you know, with prices going up for regular foodstuffs and oil, and like I was saying before. So the world really seems like it's ending, you know? The world as we know it seems to be faltering, and I don't know what the solution is. I've thought about this stuff, and again, you know, back to the Hitler comparison, it's like, you know, I'm not paranoid. I'm looking at the facts, you know? I'm looking at what's going on, and these are not, I'm not even talking about, like, conspiracy types like Alex Jones. You know, if you go to Stuff You Should Know, or HowStuffWorks.com, and listen to the Stuff You Should Know podcast, these are not fringe types. These are people who do their research, okay? This is not, you know, I do my research. I'm not, you know, talking about Big Brother putting an RFID chip under my skin and tracking my every movement, because that would be stupid. I'm looking at facts. I'm looking at hard numbers, you know? And it's like, again, I come back to the whole rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic metaphor that I used last week when I was talking about whether global warming is man-made or not. It just sort of seems like irrelevant. And what we need to focus on is figuring out, finding technology that can allow us to live lighter on the land and consume less in general, buy less in general, spend less in general, make less than general. What am I? I think I went off on a rant here too far. But you get my point. Less. Conserve. Don't be so extravagant. We have to do it. We have to. We can't keep living like this forever. You know? We won't want humanity to go on. Of course, there is a solution. We can keep living like this. In fact, the entire planet can live like Americans. But we'd have to leave the planet. That's the thing. That's the solution. You know, because we're not, really that's what I'm getting at in general, is that we're not going to solve these problems. We're too bickery, we're too self-centered, we're too focused on our own lives, and we're too focused on our own agendas to be giving enough to solve these problems. That's my prediction. So I feel like, you know, we're going to be forced to leave the planet. And I bet there's just going to be like an Elon Musk who runs, I think he runs SpaceX. Other rich people like him are going to build spaceships and just leave. In fact, that's a cool story. I should write that. Anyway, so that's the end of the Triple Sex Cast for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. I would love to hear what you think. Stop by the Triple Six website, 666.com. And let me know what you think. You can go to Twitter as well. Yeah, so that's it. The end of the world is coming. Pack your bags. Sell your stuff to other people and let them deal with it. I don't know. Maybe I should talk solutions next week, things that we can do. I think it's going to have something to do with anarchy. Anyway, this has been The Pete for the 666 Cast, episode 60. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.